Welcome to another Mother Runner. This is Sarah Bowen Shea, and my co-host today is Molly Williams. Hello, Molly.
Hello, hello, hello.
So, all right, Molly, it is August 31st as we record this. We ran this morning, so we have our August tally of found change.
Yes.
Yes. Do you want me to go first or you go first?
You go first.
Yeah, because you think my tally's higher, right?
I know your tally's higher.
Yeah. I found, we each found a penny this morning, which was nice that we each found one. And that brought my annual total to 80 cents.
Nobody likes you.
I have to say that's a long-running joke. That's why I'm laughing so hard.
Total for August is 9 cents.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny because just yet this morning you said, yeah, it's like 7 cents.
Yeah,
and I thought, oh, she's so, in typical Molly fashion, I thought, oh, she's totally, you know, sandbagging.
Nope. So not going to make that car payment.
So no silver for you this month then, right?
Nope.
Wow.
No, I found a quarter and a dollar on a walk.
Mm-hmm. Separate walks.
Separate walks, yeah. Mm-hmm. But no, no.
Wow. Yeah. That. So I found that quarter in Connecticut. That really set me up nicely early in the month. Then found that quarter on the way home from bar from the refinery when it was.
You find all this money when I'm not around. That's suspicious. Conspiracy theory.
And then, oh my gosh, I didn't tell you. I was, I just got a text from, actually a woman we'll hear from later in the podcast, Jonna. And she had good news, good business news. And so I'd stopped to check the text, and then not 15 steps later, I was right up by Fernhill Park. There I saw a dime and two pennies. And so I texted to John like, oh my gosh, your good news made me find this. And then I stepped back because in typical, you know, I've learned from you, Molly, I step away and I look around and I'd been standing on a third penny.
Ah.
Yeah.
Well, look at that.
Yeah, yeah.
So your kids have started school?
Kids have started school. We had the best first day of school.
Aw.
So it was a big, big year. High school first day of ninth grade and first day of sixth grade, which here in Portland at most schools is middle school. And so the twins went to the same arts focused school that their big sis went to. And oh my gosh, because they are such different children, it is already feels like such a different school to me in such a positive way. Like, you know, we talk about this a lot on runs, that how high energy my kids are and you know, that they're a lot.
Yeah, they're going to love Da Vinci. It's an arts middle school. They're going to have an outlet for that energy and that creativity. And Phoebe really thrived there, too.
She did. She did, but in much quieter. I mean, she really flourishes. Funny enough, she didn't take any 2D or 3D art classes, so no painting, drawing,
and she's
sculpture.
So talented.
But she spends hours in her room drawing and painting.
I've seen her stuff. It's really nice.
Oh, thank you.
I hope she explores that.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, so she's at Grant High School, and she... We found out how a freshman can get into Foundations of Art class because most freshmen don't get in. So we sent some pictures of her portfolio that she put together and she got in. And so really pleased with that. The twins just were just a goofball. I told you that John wore shorts that on the first day of school that his buddies on the last day of fifth grade had all signed with a Sharpie. And someone, one of the other parents pointed out that right on his left butt cheek it said fart. So, and you know, that pretty much just sums up John.
Like, yeah. And it fits into Da Vinci. They'll appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, exactly. So, and started a carpool, and I drove the carpool today, and it is now, thanks to your encouragement, it is now a three-family carpool because I was all set up with one other family, and then so one mom got back to us late and I thought she hadn't been interested, and oh no, it turns out that they didn't have a way to get to school. I mean, it's not that far away. They could walk or ride their bikes, but there was no other, they don't have a car on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
They really needed some help. So.
Yes. So, yeah. So drove them and oh, they're such nice girls. And,
great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was funny though, because John was all the way in the back of the minivan and it was, I think, the only ride where he's ever been quiet.
Mm.
And so I'm thinking that I'll have to mix it up so that always the two non-family members, maybe like one of my twins will get to be in that mm-hmm. second row of seats. So, so speaking of being in the van, mm-hmm. Molly, do you realize what 3 weeks from today, where you and I will be headed in the van?
We are going to the retreat.
We are. We are heading east and going to Spokane.
I'm so excited.
I know. It's going to be really fun. It's hard to believe it's 3 weeks from today.
It is hard to believe. Yeah, yeah. That's right around the corner.
I know.
So what are you most excited about for the retreat?
Oh,
like, is there a particular event? Like, do you like the run part? Do you like the skits? Do you like meals?
I love that you remember the skits. Yeah, that which are Dimity's specialty. She was yesterday saying like, okay, now what should I be doing to get ready? I'm like, be thinking of those skits.
Yeah, you love those skits.
Yeah. So, we are doing a live podcast recording. Mm-hmm. which I realize is kind of an oxymoron. I'm really excited for that. So you're going to be on stage with Dimity and me, and still trying to decide who the guest is, trying to get the Iron Nun.
That would be so awesome.
I know. So she's in Spokane.
Oh, well, of course, get the Iron Nun.
But it's really hard because nuns don't have PR people. And and she does have a book out that only came out in, I think it's 2014, yet it's out of print.
Oh.
So I'm not sure that their publicity department, it's a Simon Schuster book, and I looked up publicity and I thought, they are not going to be having a publicist for a book that's out of print. And I don't know, I would think given the popularity of that Nike ad that showed during the Olympics, I would think they might reissue the book, but that's just me thinking that. I have no basis in fact on that. And so then I saw a local coverage of it, and I was going to email the reporter. And then I thought, oh, he might not want to share, he might feel that's a conflict. Mm. I don't know. So,
well, my aunt works with the nuns in Mount Angel. I wonder if she has any connection to the Spokane nuns. I'll put it out there for her.
It's interesting. She is a Catholic. She is Roman Catholic. Yet not nunnery. What's the word for
convent?
Her convent? Thank you. I was like, it's not monastery. That's for men. Her convent and her, I don't want to say her order, but is it's kind of an offshoot.
If anybody has a connection to the Iron Nun.
Yes, exactly. Tweet to me at SBS on the run. So we are excited to go out there. You and I are driving. Knows? Knowing us, we'll probably take our time so that we can explore where they found Kennewick Man.
Stop at the historical markers for sure.
Right.
For sure.
Maybe we wear Lewis and Clark apparel.
Oh, I love it. I think that's a great idea.
Coonskin cap. So all right. Well, Molly, you were the clever one who came up with the portmanteau for what this episode is. It's a dog cast.
It sure is.
Woof, woof. We're going to be talking about running with a four-legged friend. We're going to have two guests, and you, Molly, almost count as a third guest since you are a veterinarian.
I
find that word so hard to say.
Mm-hmm.
I always you heard it. I think I say it once in the podcast that I say veterinarian. It's like I don't know how to say library, that I mispronounced it.
It's okay.
I know there's an R in there somewhere. I do know it's library and February. You are a vet by profession.
Mm-hmm.
And interwoven into the show are voice memos from numerous women who run with a dog or two. Like this voice memo from someone who will be very familiar to Bammers.
Hey, this is Dimity in Denver, and I want to talk to you a little bit about my best running dog, Mr. Mason Ralph Davis. He is my best running dog, the best when we are on a trail together, because he just goes everywhere. We're on a trail in the mountains, so it's not a trail with a lot of other runners or riders or anything, and he just goes and goes, and he's in the rivers, and he's trying to climb up trees, launching himself up to get some squirrels, and he just is joy personified. I run, say 5 miles, and he covers, 8 or 9, and I love it. What is a little bit harder is when he is on a leash. I do run with him around my neighborhood probably, I would say once a week or once or twice a week. And it's all good if we don't see a squirrel or a rabbit. If we see one of those little rodents, or I should say if he sees them, I see most of them, and he sees probably I don't know, maybe 60% of them, he's not quite a hunting dog, maybe 40%. But the ones he does see, I mean, there have been times where I'm literally like water skiing behind him. He is 95 pounds. You know, he's carrying a couple extra milk bones on his frame, but for the most part, he's a pretty strong little guy, big guy. And so like he'll see a rabbit on a neighbor's lawn and I literally have to put both hands on the leash and I am literally being pulled behind him, you know, on my heels across wet grass as he tries to get the rodent. He's never caught anything, which is a good thing. And it keeps things interesting and keeps me on my toes. His intensity usually dies down about 2 miles into a run. And then that's good. The only other funny part about running with him is if it's a hotter day, he'll stop and he'll drink from any puddle. And I've used to try to limit it. And now I'm like, you know what? He has got a stomach of steel. It's just some refreshments. It's his aid station that he needs. And sometimes, so he'll drink from any puddle to get a refreshment. And then sometimes he just lays down in the middle of it and gives us both a break. So anyway, my miles are always more fun and a little bit more entertaining when I've got Mr. Mason Ralph next to me. Thanks for letting me share.
All right. And before we embark on this episode, as the first of many.
You guys might just want to turn this off now.
Okay. But before we start this episode, we're going to take a quick break to hear from one of our partners. Stay with us. Stay.
I warned you.
We're joined by Mark Stockamp, a professional dog runner who is part of a Seattle-based startup called Jogs for Dogs. In the past 2.5 years, Mark has run more than 2,500 miles with dogs of all shapes and sizes. Thanks for chatting with us, Mark.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Sarah.
So start by telling us a bit about yourself as a runner, including when and why you started running.
So I was actually kind of a late bloomer with running. I started my senior year of high school. And I've always been a big time dog person. And it was after my freshman year of school, I randomly discovered Jogs for Dogs on a Facebook advertisement. And I thought, I didn't think it could be real, getting paid to help run people's dogs and exercise. So it was just really a dream job right off the bat.
Nice.
Wow. And clue us into Jogs for Dogs. When did your company get founded? And are you nationwide? And what other services do you offer?
So Jogs for Dogs, it started in 2007 by the founder, Brendan. He unfortunately wasn't able to be here today, but it was it's a startup started by Brendan Fahey, a UW graduate. Mm-hmm. And it is mostly its biggest presence is in Seattle. It launched a little bit nationwide, like Chicago. It was even in London for a little bit. So it had a little bit of an international presence, mm-hmm. but it's primarily here in Seattle. We have about 75 to 85 runners who help run dogs on a weekly basis.
Wow. That's a lot of people.
And how many dogs?
I don't know that number off the top of my head, but each runner, like, the majority of runners are going to have 1 to 2 dogs. I'm kind of an outlier because I have 6 dogs I run on a weekly basis. So it's over 100.
Do you run more than one dog at a time?
Dogs
or you have a whole sled team?
Yeah, our focus, it's one-on-one service. So it's like premium service then. So it's usually one dog at a time. I do have one set of dogs that is siblings, so I'll take them out at the same time, but it's primarily one-on-one.
Yeah, that makes more sense, too. Then you can monitor that dog and how they're doing. And
yeah, if running dogs 2 at a time, it's a handful. Like usually one's enough.
Yeah.
And do you have a favorite breed or at least size of dog to run with? Or do you prefer like different types of dog depending on what type of workout you're hoping to get, like a different one for tempo runs versus longer distance runs?
Yeah, it's actually been pretty surprising. So I've got most of my dogs about mid-size, about 40 to 60 pounds, and a few are like 80 plus. And then I have one that's 15 pounds. Surprisingly, for my long runs, like an 8-miler, the 15-pound dog, he's a Corgi, Jack Russell, Wiener dog mix. He can go 8 miles easy. So,
no way. Doesn't he have little tiny legs?
He does, but man, those legs carry him.
Aw, that's so cute.
And then for my speed runs, I have a couple of dogs. One's a mini Aussie, about 35 pounds, and another one's a Shiba Inu Husky mix. And if I want to go like 6:30 pace or like 5 miles, they're just right by my side leading the way.
Wow, that's great.
So it's really, they run it their own mix. Part of the biggest thing I discovered with dog running is you really have to you're not running your pace. You're running what the dog wants to run. So you're kind of adapting to them and their health.
Well, that's what I wondered. If you're if you are like set a serious goal out there for yourself, a PR, that type of thing, are you able to actually accomplish your training goals with the dog, or are those kind of like bonus runs that are done with the dogs?
I am. So I rarely run by myself anymore. If I'm running by myself, it feels awkward. So it's fun to set goals, like see if we can hit this certain average mile pace. I have like a record mile with each dog. Like I was trying for a while to get under 6 minutes with the mini Aussie Marley that I run, but we got down to like 6:09 and I don't think we can push it anymore.
She couldn't do it.
Nah.
Maybe for a short period of time, but not for...
Take her to a sports psychologist. You know, it's all in her head. You know, if she could just get over that.
Seriously. But yeah, it's fun just like setting goals. And it's great to see the dog's health get better as we run longer. So when you start out, like one of my dogs, his name is Ben Ben. He's the boxer I sent you pictures of. Uh-huh. He was actually really overweight. He was really unhealthy, had some fatty tumors. And I've been running him over 2 years now, and he just went to the doctor about a week ago, and they said he's in the best health of his life. So it's exciting when you can hear how, like, what I'm doing is helping benefit the dog then, and just seeing them progress. Like, his first run, we were running 10:30 pace for, like, 5 miles. Mm-hmm. And then for a long time, we were down to 6:45 pace. So he was just – and he loves it.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. I wish we could all enjoy that great of a drop in pace. My gosh.
I know. It's crazy because, like, humans, we need to run, like, quite a bit to improve. But with dogs, it's almost like running once or twice a week, and they can improve drastically. Yeah, it's crazy.
All the more reason I'm a cat person, I guess.
Cats are great, too.
But you bring up a good point in that you, as a professional dog runner, you're running for the dogs versus a lot of our dog owners who are going to be running for their own health and then taking their dog along with them. So you have to be cognizant of what shape your dog's in, what breed your dog's in, what your dog's capable of doing. And that being said, what breeds would you recommend for dog runners or people who want to run with dogs?
There's lots of breeds that are well built for dog running. So like some of the best ones, like herding dogs are really good, like border collies, Australian shepherds, those dogs are great. Surprisingly, boxers have been pretty good also. It's mostly going to be about like a short haired dog because their coats kind of breathe a little bit better. That being said, the season of the year really affects dog running also. I'm kind of excited for summer to be over just because my dogs don't really react super well to the heat. Mm-hmm. Like the mini Aussie that I run, she a super fast runner, incredibly fast in like fall, winter, spring. But in summertime, she just slows way down. So you really have to be aware of the heat and also the type of dog you're running. So I'll usually in the summertime, I run with I have a little running backpack and a bowl with me, so I fill up with water just because you have to be aware of the dog's hydration while you're out there.
How often do you find you have to give the dogs drinks?
So I give them one. I always fill them up a drink right after our run. It's really if they're seeming like more sluggish or like slow, like I'll give them a drink of water then. So,
So Mark, in talking about running with dogs in heat, I was looking online about running with dogs. I mean, as a veterinarian, I should know something, but somehow they never have the running with dog class in vet school. At least they didn't 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But I saw that there's a cooling vest. Have you ever used that?
I have not used anything like that before.
Have usually, you even heard of it?
I have not. No. What's it look like?
They didn't have a link to the picture. But the other thing they talked about was putting a bandana on your dog. It's hard for me to believe that would do much for cooling a dog down, but...
Yeah.
Maybe, no, maybe what I do, put it in the freezer ahead of time, like wet it down and put it in the freezer. I don't know.
I mean, their fur is so thick. It's hard for me to believe that they'd get much
right,
contact
they would go through,
with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
Anyway.
A lot of my dogs like to end their run just jumping in the water. So I think that might be the equivalent.
Right. Yeah. But also I think, I mean, you saying that, they run slower in the heat. Well, you're in Seattle. I mean, so as yes, we've had some hot days this summer, but in the Pacific Northwest, but I mean, I would think in other parts of the country, it could really be an important consideration in the summer to really make sure you take care of your dog.
Oh, for sure.
Because yeah,
it's so much hotter.
Yeah, it's especially like summertime. So we're blessed to be Pacific Northwest where it's really still a pretty mild summer. Mm-hmm. Not too hot, but Yeah, most dogs, like, it's really important when you select a dog for like being a running companion, really check out what its conditions are, like how it does in heat and whatnot. Like Weimaraners and Vizslas, they're pretty good all year round, but you got to check out, make sure, see how they're going to be affected by the different seasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as a veterinarian, I always see problems the first couple nice days we have. You know, it's like July 5th and finally gets warm and everybody takes their dog to the park and they come in with all sorts of stuff, but also heat exhaustion. And the biggest problem is with black dogs, and people don't realize that dogs actually absorb a lot of heat.
Oh, that's clever.
Yeah. So to be really careful on those first few hot days, not to overdo it.
Put a little white t-shirt on it, you know?
Yeah, throw that on there.
The perfect white tee, you know?
Yep.
Have you ever had a dog get heat exhaustion or from running?
I have not, no. That's one thing we're most aware of with being Jogs for Dogs certified runners is the number one utmost thing is you're looking out for the dog's health. So it's like if you completely have to stop the run and just walk or take a break, like that's what we're going to do.
Yeah. The only actual cases I've seen of heat exhaustion have been dogs left in cars. And
yeah, I have heard about that before.
Yeah, one of them did end up dying from it. And it's really sad. They'll look like they're recovering and then they start to have bleeding problems and you just can't bring them back from it. So
Yeah,
be careful,
sad.
People. I mean, they look like they're doing all right, but you got to take that dog into the vet and they need to be monitored for a couple days pretty carefully if they've had true heat stroke.
Mm. Yeah.
So do you have a cutoff point, Mark, where you were like, okay, it's too hot, we're just going to go on a walk? Or is there no general rule like that?
Yeah, usually, like I said, it depends a little bit on the dog. A couple of mine do a little better in the heat. But I do most of my running in early mornings around, I get up about 6:30 in the morning or 7 usually. So we're usually out on our run between 8 and 9 a.m. So it's not too hot then.
No.
By mother runner standards, that's called sleeping in, Mark.
Yeah, I guess that's late.
Do you have any huskies that you're conditioning during the off season, you know, that go up and that do sledding and...
No, I don't have any of those. They're just domestic house dogs.
Oh, very good.
Yep.
All right. Well, before we continue more with Mark, here's a voice memo from Janelle, whose dog has a confusion-inducing name.
Hi, my name is Janelle Brooks, and I live in Flowery Branch, Georgia, which is just north of Atlanta. I run with my dog, Snacks. He is about 60 to 65 pounds, and we believe he is a Great Pyrenees mixed with a Dalmatian. We run generally every week. Every Saturday is my long run, so we generally run 6 to 10 miles every Saturday. He has gone up to 14 miles before. He's starting to slow down a little bit and gets really tired after 6 these days. So I think he's just getting a little bit older because he's about 4 years old, almost 5. One funny story is I was getting ready to take him on a group run with some ladies from the Moms Run This Town group here that I'm a part of. And I had asked if Snacks was allowed to come. And they said, of course, why wouldn't Snacks be allowed to come? And I said, well, we're just going to have to make sure to stop every few miles so I can have some water for Snacks and that sort. Well, we got there the next day and I got out of the car and I met the ladies. And then I said, okay, let me just get Snacks ready. So I went back to the car and I got Snacks out and I said, this is Snacks. Okay, so we went on our run and we're running. And one of the women looks at me and she goes, oh, Snacks is your dog. And I looked at her and I said, yeah. And she said, well, that's why you were asking if Snacks was allowed to come, because Snacks is the dog. And I said, yes. And she said, oh, I just thought you were really serious about your Snacks, as in the food that you eat.
So, Mark, can you clue us into any other special considerations you have for weather, like maybe cold weather, booties on ice, or hot pavement?
Yeah, so usually I'm trying to avoid pavement when it's really hot in summertime. Usually try and get on like more of a dirt or gravel trail or even just running on grass. Surprisingly, a lot of my dogs, grass is their favorite surface.
Probably because they're barefoot runners, you know, makes sense.
Exactly. Yeah, it's cooler and they enjoy rolling around in it. So usually in hot summertime, avoid pavement if you can. I understand, though, it's like here, everyone lives near sidewalks, so makes sense also. But just something to be aware of, seeing how the dog's reacting to it.
So you don't run with dogs with booties, maybe even in the wintertime, right?
I've ran dogs with when we wear like a vest or something when it's cooler. I've had some runs in like the 20s, not too much lower than that though. So like I'll put a vest on them, but I haven't had to run with booties before on their feet. It hasn't been since I've been running for about the last 2.5 years. It hasn't been too icy up here. So I haven't really been affected by that yet.
Yeah, I don't think dogs would much like it. I know why the sled dogs wear them, but I don't think your average dog wants to wear booties very much.
Yeah, so most of the dogs that I run, they don't really like the feeling of even clothing on them. Like the boxer I run, I tried to put a Seahawks jersey on him for a run and he just hated it.
He's not a Seahawks fan.
Yeah. We also, Brendan and I, the founder of JFD, once tried to attach a GoPro to one of our dogs because they have GoPro dog straps. And they just weren't having it. So usually they just want to go with what they've got on their coat of fur.
Right. Yeah. I always wonder that when I see dogs wearing little raincoats or, you know, little sweaters. I mean, they have fur. Do dogs really need to wear clothes other than to just be super cute for Instagram pictures?
Go ahead, Mark.
Oh, yeah. I think it's mostly, for social media, and the owner just kind of wants to show off their dog wearing a jersey or anything. It's not really anything to, like, keep them warm, or unless it's, like, a jacket in the winter.
Yeah, well, we have a Shih Tzu, and she gets groomed, you know, and shaved down, and in the wintertime, she is freezing, and she practically dives into her clothes. She doesn't want to take them off.
She tries to do the zipper, but she doesn't have a little thumb.
Yeah,
that's great.
Looks at
no
you and shivers.
Thumbs.
Yeah. So, I think a lot of people with small dogs like the Chihuahuas and the Shih Tzus and stuff, you know, they use their clothes. But the big dogs outside in the cold weather, really, they can handle very cold weather.
That's what I think.
Yeah, especially if they're moving around. Yeah. Uh-huh.
But it's more the little dogs, which are kind of cuter to begin with.
Well, I think even
clothes.
If they're moving around, they're probably all right. It's just, you know, when you're just sitting there watching TV, they get cold.
give them an Afghan, no pun intended. Not
we do. We have a blanket for our dog. We have to tuck her in at night. It's very pathetic.
Nice. The luxuries.
Yeah. So I've got a very important question for you, Mark. How do you handle the poop?
that's a great question. Yeah, so most of the time I run with a roll of poop bags on me. However, there are many times where I forget them in my car or forget them at the house, so it's time to get creative then. So one tip I have is if you're running in a public park, most of them have a bunch of big garbage cans. So what you can do is with the big garbage can liner, you can usually rip off an extra part. And then you can pick it up. You have to be really careful not to get on your hands. Or you have to rip off a big portion. And you can just pick it up then. You can just go back, throw it in. A lot of people are going to judge you because they're going to think you're running away from the poop, even though you're running to go rip off a piece of the garbage can. So I've been yelled at many times to pick up my dog's poop, even though that's what I'm doing.
You don't turn and like make a big announcement like, everyone, I'm just going to go get.
You need a little card that you put on the poop. I'm on my way back.
Yeah, right. No.
Back in five.
Yeah, I need like a little scooping in progress sign. Yeah. No, I haven't had that. But another time, this is mostly in fall or winter. You can also use like big leaves if you have that. So, I've had times where I've had to get creative before. So it keeps it interesting. But
well, how do you carry the poop? If you have to, like your dog poops, you got to get to the trash can that's a half mile away. Do you just hold it?
It was hard for me at first because I was like, I don't really want to run with this dog's poop in this poop bag. But it goes with my stride. So like, I just have it. I just hold on to it, like I tie a knot in the bag, and just whenever it's convenient, I find the next garbage can. So I've had some runs before. It's actually been awful where I only brought one poop bag, and the dog poops within the first mile. So I was like, well, I guess I'll just hold on to this bag for the next 6 miles.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love you saying it goes with your stride. Like I envision it, like just dunk, 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 dunk.
Yeah, you just gotta. It is what it is at that point.
Right. Yeah.
Well, good for you, because I'm morally opposed of people leaving the poop bag that I will return for. You know, you see them on the trails and stuff. Yeah. I'm like, no, no, no. Your dog pooped. You pick it up. You take it with you and you take it out. I don't want it sitting there or I have to look at it. So good for you for taking it.
Yeah. No, that just drives me nuts when I see that.
Isn't that the worst?
Yeah. It's like, yeah. I don't know what's worse, to not pick it up or to pick it up but not have the effort to throw it away. It's just, it's not good.
I think that's worse, because if you like leave the poop there, which is certainly bad, at least it biodegrades. But like how many like smushed poop bags have you seen there that are just going to be there for the next year?
Too many.
Yeah, I know. Me too. So we took Jones, my dog, out for a run this morning. Sarah and I, it's the first time we've ran together with him. And he is a guide dog for the blind flunky. So mostly he pees and poops on command. Mm-hmm. But for the guide dogs, it's very important that they not poop on a walk. So as you're training them, if they haven't pooped, you just don't take them out, because they can't poop when they're on harness and stuff like that. So,
wow.
Yeah. So it's very strict. Well, now he is a flunky, and he didn't poop.
She means that literally, that he flunked out of the program. Yes.
Which is why he's my pet now, and he can run, because you can't run with him, you know, because blind people don't run with their guide dogs, mm-hmm. at least at this point. I think they might be looking at some alternatives there, but, anywho, he pooped on the run, and I tied the poop to his collar.
In the bag. You tied the bag. Yeah, she didn't tie the poop to the collar.
And, wow.
And we only had...
She's a mom. She's used to touching poop. It's all okay.
One time I got poop on my hand once.
Yeah.
It wasn't perfect. But do you have any other ways that people have carried the poop? Do they use vests for the dog they poop them in, or do they use a belt that they put it in? Or
I see people, like, they'll just tie it to the leash. But they'll just tie the poop bag around the leash then. But I haven't really seen too many other methods for it. I just go, it's simple, carrying it in your hand so you can just throw it away. But similar to you, I've had many instances where I look a little silly because there's a hole in the bottom of the poop bag and there's just poop that's gotten on me for the last mile. So
nice.
Yeah.
All in a day's work for you, Mark.
Oh, yeah. Probably one of the funniest moments I've had. It was when I was walking. It was just a little jog with the siblings that I run. One's a Husky Shiba Inu mix and the other's a Vizsla Labrador. And as I was picking up the poop for the Labrador, I set my phone down because I carry my phone to track our runs on Nike Running App. I did not realize that the Husky walked on over and he just started peeing right on top of it. So my phone was just saturated. I was like, oh man, just wipe it off on your shirt and keep on going. Keep that smile.
Yeah. It kept work. Your phone didn't die.
It still works. So it just scrubbed it very, very well when I got home.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Yeah. Wow. And Mark, I have to say, it's so funny that you talked about the siblings. And when you started describing what the breed was of the first dog, I thought, uh-huh, Mark, they're both going to be the same breed because they're siblings. Then I realized they're adopted dogs. So they, you know.
Yeah. No, just live in the same house.
So Mark, how do you train a dog to run with you, or how should other people train a dog to run with you? Do you let the dog pull? Do you teach them to run on your left side? Do you not let them pull? How do you handle corners?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the first thing to start with is picking which side you want your dog to run on, left or right. It's really going to see, like, and you can pick the side for them pretty much by just leading them on that certain side. And they're going to get the hang of it as soon after, like, a few runs. Some dogs, it might take a little longer if they've never really ran before. So the majority of my dogs, I'll just run with them on the side that's away from traffic. So one dog, like, usually when you start running a dog, for me, I don't own the dog, so they already have a certain side. So if the owner tells me to stay on the left, I just have the dog on my left side then, so I don't get confused, and I'll just run the left side of the road then. So, or like a left side sidewalk, so they're not going to be against traffic.
And do you let the dog pull you, or do you teach them not to pull?
Yeah, so when you start, they can tug a little bit. Most dogs aren't too disciplined when they start running, so pulling is part of it, I'd say, in the beginning, but I don't really allow that behavior just because it's not comfortable. It's not really a fun way to run. So usually if they're pulling, like, you need like a simple command, like stay or just stop. So I'll usually stop running, and just will just wait out a couple seconds. So, and they usually get the hang of it. So now my dogs, really all they'll do, they just want to chase the leash or kind of bite the leash, but they don't really pull anymore. So they get the hang of it if you discipline them early by just kind of not rewarding that behavior.
So they'll run on a slack line?
For me, so I run pretty short leash because uh-huh. I don't really want them interacting too much with other dogs, because what's important about dog running is each dog has their different set of distractions. So like one dog I run, it's skateboards, bikes, anything with wheels. One other dog, he just goes bananas for squirrels. So it's like you have to really be aware of what you're running around. But I keep them on a pretty short leash just because I don't want them tugging a lot. And they actually get pretty comfortable in staying at that close distance right by your side.
Do you hold the leash or do you have one that you put around your waist?
No, I don't really trust the waist leashes, because if Ben, the box I ran, if he saw a squirrel and he's mm-hmm. He's about 85 pounds, like I would think I would be rolling in the grass behind him. Mm-hmm. So you really need, for me, I like just because I can use my hands then to like just grip the leash then, and it's easier to keep them by my side. So I would mm-hmm. say I start by giving them pretty short leash just because they become comfortable with it. If they have a lot of leash to begin with, they're going to have a lot of territory to roam, and that's what they're going to be comfortable with. So I think it reduces pulling if you keep them by a short side from the get-go.
Oh, that's good advice. And do you have them wear a harness, or do you just use it with a collar?
So it's whatever the dog owners provide me with. So it's a mix. Like most dogs, I'd say it's half and half. Some have a harness that goes around their chest, and then the leash connects like right below their like breastbone. Mm-hmm. But there's another leash where it's just around the collar then. So it's kind of a mix. I kind of prefer the harnesses. It's a little easier to kind of guide the dog then if they see something that are distracted. And it's also like, it doesn't like tug as much. Like if they jump to go like chase a squirrel, it's not just pulling on like kind of their neck if it's just a collar leash.
So if it's attaching down the breastbone, then those are one of those no pull harnesses.
So they can still, how do you define no pull?
Well, you know, they've got those kind that it's sort of like, you know, you've got the head collar for dogs to help with pulling, because, I mean, I don't think you'd run with that. But they also mm-hmm. have the harnesses that attach low so that if the dog pulls, they move to the side, and it teaches them not to pull, because if they want to go straight ahead, they have to relax.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, because basically if they run ahead of you, the leash is ahead of their legs, so it's going to cause them to like twist their body around. So they don't. It kind of reduces that ability for them to want to sprint really far ahead.
So you don't do too many the leash attaching to the back of the harness?
Nope, don't have really any of those. Actually none of mine attach at the top there.
So we don't want you betraying any, you know, runner pet confidentialities, but we suspect that you have more than your fair share of hilarious dog anecdotes, maybe some that don't involve poop, since we've already covered those. And we love to laugh. So share one or two funny anecdotes with us.
So you just want like a couple stories of dogs.
Yeah.
Well, there's some hilarious ability for dogs just to be super distracted at one split moment on your run. So I've had one where we were just running on trails, and I don't know what Marley, the mini Aussie I ran, saw, but just stopped. And I was actually letting her lead the way that day. We were running at a pretty fast pace, just came to a completing halt. So I actually flipped over her that one time because I was just running so fast. So I was like, well, I just have to jump over you. So I just ate it into the mud that day. So that was
Gosh. Well, at least it's the Pacific Northwest, so you didn't like land on, you know, like dry rock or something like that. It's mud.
It was just nice wet mud. Yeah. Trying to think of some other funny times. There's so many stories. Probably the craziest, not as funny, but I actually did have one instance where I was running and it was raining one day, and I actually slipped into the middle of the road because I had to stop because I saw a car was coming. I actually got my foot run over by a car one time in the middle of dog running.
Oh, my Lord. Wow.
Yeah. So,
and what happened to you? I mean, did you have broken bones?
No, it was pretty spectacular. So, fortunately, Marley, I run with her on the left side. So, she was on my left side, and we were able to get her to the side. So, she was behind the car. So, like, I slid between the front and back wheel, and they just ran over my left foot. And, they sped off. And I fortunately, it was crazy. I went to ER that night, and, there was no broken bone. They just said it was bruised, and they told me to take 10 days off. I didn't. Well, I guess maybe if they're listening to this, I only took 3 days off because I didn't want to be away from my dogs. And yeah, my foot felt all right.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Yeah. And what? But you're so altruistic that, like, you put yourself, you know, in harm's way instead of the dog. So that's
yeah,
very
it
nice
was,
of you.
Yeah, no, it was pretty crazy. See, I remember because I was just trying to push, like I said, if she was on my right side, she could have been hit because the car was turning right at a T intersection. Uh-huh. So it was nice that she was on the left and kind of just scooped her to the left side there. But yeah, that was a scary moment. It was kind of funny, though, because the doctor who gave my x-ray was in a boot on her left foot, and she broke her foot just by falling down a stair funny. So she said I had a pretty good story then.
And meanwhile, you leave the examining room and she like starts cursing your name. She's like, he got run over by a car and he's fine. And look at me with my stupid boot.
Yeah, she probably wasn't too happy. But yeah, No, there's been some wild times dog running. It's a fun job.
Oh my goodness.
Well, I've got a not too good dog running story. My cousin was running with his dog in a wooded area and he ran his dog off leash and the dog got hit by a train.
Oh my Lord.
Yeah, it almost didn't live. It lost an eye, but they were able to get the dog to an emergency and it survived. But people should leash their dogs, shouldn't they?
I am all about leashing dogs. Like, mm-hmm. I guess another funny story that brings this one up to mind was I was running just at this park and the dog that I was running with paused immediately. So one of those instances where it looks like distracted, I was like, what's going on? And next thing I noticed, I was just looking up at the sky because this big Bernese Mountain Dog that was off leash basically tackled me from behind. It just kicked, its head hit the back of my calves and wow, I just landed right on my back because it was chasing the dog I was running. So I remember I had a very bruised tailbone. It hurt to sit down the next couple weeks.
The worst. But, oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was nuts. So I am all about leashing your dogs, especially where they're supposed to be leashed. So it's safer for the dogs. You don't know how they're going to react to one another. So
you don't. And even if your dog's nice, it doesn't mean that other dog is nice and friendly. So everybody should leash up their dogs.
That's part of why I keep them on a short leash also. You just don't know the personality. And you also can't judge them on the breed. Like I know plenty of like pit bulls have a bad name kind of, but mm-hmm. I know plenty of nice pit bulls and just like other bigger dogs. It's kind of funny how people were clear the way for me when I run with my boxer because he's huge and they think he's mean, but he's like the sweetest pup. Yep.
Oh my goodness. Well, thanks for joining us, Mark. It was fun yapping with you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Before we're joined by our second guest, here's a voice memo from Susan who tells a tale of a runner's faux pas committed by her little dog, Dolly. And then we'll hear a voice memo from Kara, who, like our last guest Mark, gets paid to run with dogs twice a week.
Hi, this is Susan Berg from Sacramento, California. My dog's name is Dolly. She is an SPCA Chihuahua Special. We think she has some Terrier and some Dachshund in her. We definitely know she's got lots of energy. Dolly runs with me every chance she gets. She loves it when I'm training for a race and does all of my training plans with me. I'll tell you her secret. Her favorites are the accelerators in the heart rate plan. When they allow dogs, Dolly also races with me. She's run several half marathons. In fact, the quickest way to get me to sign up for a race is to tell me that I can bring Dolly. Since she's an experienced runner, Dolly knows that when you need to slow down or stop, you pull off to the side of the course so as not to be in the way of other runners. This is especially good because about a mile into a race, Dolly usually needs to drop off her children at the pool, as Dimity would put it. Well, a couple years ago, we were starting a 10-miler, and I guess Dolly was a little off her game. Less than half a mile into the race, Dolly came to a complete stop in the middle of the road and started taking care of business. Luckily, we had started near the back of the pack, so traffic wasn't heavy. Most of the people who ran around us were women, and all of them were laughing. Dolly, at least, had the decency to look embarrassed by her runner's faux pas. But after finishing, she raised her tail high and increased her pace. Dolly was ready to race.
Hey, Mother Runner World. This is Kara coming in from Steamboat Springs, Colorado. I run with a two-year-old pit bull mix named Corey. He's a rescue. And Corey's actually not my dog. I'm lucky enough to have found a family that I get to work for and just run Corey twice a week. We go about 6 to 8 miles and wherever we want, trails, roads, and it's just a total blast. So I started running him back in January. So we've seen, you know, rain, snow, wind, ice, sunshine, and just about everything in between. But I think the funniest day with Corey was when I woke up and saw 6 inches of snow on the ground back in April. It's like late April, and kind of this freak storm came through, and I look outside and I'm like, you're kidding me. So I show up at Corey's house and open the door, and there's Corey, and he is like giddy and excited, and he is ready to run, probably has no idea it's just snowed outside. And so we're ready to rock and roll. So I throw his little dog jacket on him, and he's got those dog mushers booties, and we put those on and head outside. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a dog with those mushers booties on, but they dogs kind of lift him up too high, maybe like a foot up in the air before they slap him back down. And I just think they don't know what to do with them. And it's so funny. They look like a hand puppet or something that's just kind of flopping all over the place. And the roads hadn't been plowed yet this day. And we're just kind of running through the streets, and it's a total riot. So we make it probably 5 miles before we just can't take it anymore. But I think the best thing we learned out of that day was, you know, with a dog, you can get out there and get after it, and it doesn't matter what's going on in the day. If there's, you know, a stressful day of work, or there's rain, or there's snow, or whatever is going on, if you've planned that run and you tell that dog you're going running, he's expecting it. It's kind of funny. And, you know, you show up there and, like, Corey knows exactly what's going on every time. So it's the accountability, and they're relying on you and you're relying on them to run that day. And I just think that's the best thing that dogs can teach us through running.
Next up is Amanda Loudon, who many of you may know online as Miss Zippy, a health and fitness writer and mother runner based in Maryland. Welcome, Amanda.
Thanks for having me.
So how did you get started in the world of running?
Well, it's been a long time. I started about 20 years ago, and I actually started first in triathlon and spent several years pretty heavily involved in all three of those disciplines. But eventually running kind of emerged as my favorite of the three. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, since having my children, it also became easier for me just to fit in the running. And that's kind of where I am these days. While I do some cross training, running is my main passion.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, tell us about your children, both your human ones and your fur baby Tori.
Sure. So I have a 15-year-old son who just started his sophomore year in high school, and an 11-year-old daughter who is starting her first year of middle school. And then our dog is Tori. She is a 3-year-old Whippet. She's our second Whippet. We had another one who was a prince of a dog. I couldn't have had a better dog ever. Tori, she's her own little personality. She's more of a handful.
You sound like a true mom the way you're like trying to talk tactfully about both of
your
children.
Yes, exactly. We love her, but she's more challenging.
In what ways is she challenging?
Well, she's, Molly, I'm sure you're going to be familiar with this, but she's got a reactive personality. So, you know, she's going to go a little bit crazy out there, particularly, you know, being on a leash, that's kind of her kryptonite. And when she's approaching another dog on a leash, you know, she goes a little bit crazy. She can get riled up over, you know, certain people coming toward her. You just never know what she's going to react to. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've been through reactive dog training with her. Dog behavior, I guess, is only as good as the person who is carrying out that training. And I am a little bit remiss in that one of the parts of the reactive dog training was to bring treats with you at all times and you know, show them when they're about ready to react, you need to anticipate the reaction and mm-hmm. and start giving them treats and kind of, you know, showing them, associating good things with what they might be reacting to. Mm-hmm. When I run with her, carrying treats is just, you know, really not a lot of fun. You know, a bag of steak on your waist is not a fun way to go.
If only she could eat goo. So then, you know, like right. you eat two chews and give
exactly.
Give
you have just one stone.
But you have to be stopping.
It doesn't work that way. So yeah. So you know that's where she's challenging.
So she gets a little gets aggressive when she sees the other dogs.
Yeah, she's barking and going crazy and you know I mean if I were to let her get too close to another dog, mm-hmm. When she's in that mode and feeling threatened, I have no doubt that she would snap, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I have a Shih Tzu named Bingo who's mean. And I have a lab, Jones, who's just a delight to everybody. But anyway, Bingo I'll take out on the leash, and she's very reactive. And she's reactive to dogs, and she's reactive to people. And she's at the end of her leash, you know, growling and snapping. And they're like, oh, isn't she a sweet dog? I'm like, no, move she's along. Nothing to see here. Can I pet your dog? No. And I'm always perplexed by that. And, you know, I see that with clients, too. And, you know, like, not all people are party people. Not all dogs are party people.
Exactly.
You know, we
exactly.
just take them places where you're not going to see other people. And, you know, just move on. It's you got to, like it's like your kids, right? When your kids are having a tantrum, you're like, okay, you are having a tantrum. I am not having a tantrum. With your dog, it's like, all right, you're reactive. I'm not. We're just moving on. Nope.
Yes.
No judgment here. We're just moving on.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right?
Definitely.
Okay, there you go.
Definitely.
You are absolved of any guilt. You could just go on your run.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. So, well, with Mark, our previous guest, we were talking about different types of, you know, like collar versus a harness. So then hearing you talk about Tori, what do you run her on? What do you?
Yeah, absolutely a harness. And it's a front lead harness because, you know, that way she can't, when she is reacting and jumping around, and I always say she's spinning around because she, those harnesses, you know, she's pulling and it does kind of like pull her back toward you. And so she does, I feel like she spins around in circles at the end of her leash, you know, with this harness. So, mm-hmm. but yeah, I can't even imagine having any kind of control with her if she were just, you know, attached at the collar.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Amanda, you're a certified running coach. Did you start Tori off on a doggy version of like couch to 5K when you first took her running, or?
I definitely, first off, I waited till she was a year old because everything I've read says that they shouldn't be run as puppies. So, and then I did just start run walking her. Kind of easing her into it. And to this day, I don't usually take her more than 3 or 4 miles. Our old dog Connor, I feel like I overran him too young. And I think maybe by the time he was 5 or 6, he really didn't want to run anymore. And that was kind of sad because they love it so much. I mean, it is absolutely Tori's favorite thing in the world to do. And so I limit her, you know, I'll go out and maybe put in, you know, whatever mileage I want to do and then swing back and pick her up for a last, you know, for a final 3 miles or something like that. So, yeah.
It's sort of like you ever meet, you probably do as a former triathlete, you meet a grown-up who's like, oh, I hate swimming laps. I was on swim team all the time as a kid, and I haven't been in a pool in 20 years because I can't stand the thought of like a black line. And it's like, when you said that about Connor, I'm like, oh, maybe he just was like, you know, too many miles as a youngster. And
yeah, I kind of think that. And you know, and I always felt badly about that. So, yeah.
I think that's surprising. He was a whippet too, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Did he do, like if you took him to the beach, did he still want to just run off leash and do his own thing or?
Yeah. Although, I mean, he was, Connor was very shy and, you know, not very adventurous and just kind of, he was just a loving, sweet soul who just kind of wanted to be in your presence and wasn't an extremely playful dog. So, yeah.
Yeah. So maybe it just wasn't his personality.
Yeah, and that might have been it. Yeah.
Well, you do bring up a good point. I just want to get it out there that you shouldn't run a dog before they're 11 to 14 months, depending on your breed. The bigger the breed, the longer you want to wait because it takes them longer to complete their growth. So thank you for saying that. And if they're spayed or neutered before a year of age, you probably want to wait later just because they haven't had the same hormones as a dog that's spayed about a year of age. So just give them a little bit longer to have their muscles, you know, get more muscly.
Right, right.
The tendons to get
more
tendon-y.
That's good. I feel good about that too, because I waited a year before I had her spayed. So good. Good to hear.
Yeah, there's a lot of back and forth about when to spay and neuter, but yeah, that's one reason to wait.
Well, that's intriguing. That's why I got you on here, Malls, because you got all that expert knowledge.
Exactly.
Well, let's take a quick comfort break for a funny TMI voice memo from Lisa.
Hi, Sarah. Hi, Molly. This is Lisa from Colorado, and I want to tell you about my best running dog, Snickers. She's a Cocker Spaniel, and she's 7 years old, and we've been running a long time. She's my only running partner, and she goes on all my runs with me. Usually about 3 miles, but in the summer heat, she has black fur and gets really hot. So sometimes she'll only last a mile or two, and then I drop her back off at the house, and then I continue on with however many miles I need. A little anecdote story about Snickers is I have 5 kids, and so my bladder is like kind of like a 2-year-old. If I need to go, I needed to go find a bathroom like 5 minutes ago. So sometimes on my run, I'll have that feeling and need to go. And just lately, we've had the experience of she was doing her business, and I bent down to clean up the business and decided to take that opportunity to also let a little pee fly. And it was very nice to be hidden under the guise of cleaning up after my dog and also getting a little bit of relief for me. So I've taken Sarah, I've been brave and done things that I've never done before, but if you can pee on the fly, then I gave it a shot and it worked. So thanks, Snickers, for hiding what I was doing. I love her and I hope she stays with me for many years to come because she's been a great little companion. Thanks. Bye-bye.
So what do you enjoy most about running with your dog?
I think that the thing that I love the most is the joy that it gives her. I honestly, it is so much fun to see her anticipating the run and then out there just, you know, it's like she's got a grin on her face. And I really think that's the best part about it. I mean, you know, she's good company as well. But I run with a lot of friends. And so, you know, I don't need her for the companionship if that were the issue. It's more just, it's just fun to see her have fun.
Yeah, I think that's why we have pets. We enjoy watching them enjoying life, watching them run on the beach and play with their toys and get excited about training and interacting with the family.
Exactly.
Yeah. And Whippets are just sweet little dogs. I mean, they don't always like other people, but they're generally just really sweet and interactive and funny with their family. Yeah.
Yes.
Nice little dog.
Yeah. She's incredibly affectionate, which I love. You know, she's all over me the second I walk in the house. So, you know, it's nice.
They're one of those dogs that gets overlooked because people see them, you know, they're so skinny and they're always trembling and stuff. And they think, but they're completely different at home. Same with the Greyhounds.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And do you know people with the Greyhound rescues?
I have not. I don't know anyone in my area who has. And I actually, when I was looking into getting a Whippet, I was looking for Whippet Rescue because I wanted that size more than the big Greyhound size. Uh-huh. And Whippet Rescue is pretty much non-existent in our country just because they're just not a popular breed here, you know?
No.
That's interesting. I was going to say the Simpsons dog is a Greyhound rescue. Santa's Little Helper on the Simpsons TV show.
Right,
Santa's Little Helper is a Greyhound rescue.
It looks more like a Whippet, though.
Yeah, well, that's funny because actually, Amanda, I have to say when you were talking about Tori, I was totally envisioning Santa's Little Helper.
That's great.
And I didn't realize that Greyhounds are larger than Whippets.
Yes, quite a bit. Yeah, and she would not be a good helper to Santa either. So the name would be a misnomer.
And you're not going to put her on a track and have her run after a mechanical rabbit anytime
soon. No, I'm not.
Molly actually works near. Do they still run Greyhounds?
No. The Greyhound track was in Gresham. I'm by the horse track.
Oh, you're by the horse track. Okay, I get that. Okay.
Yeah. Right. I don't see any horses. Sometimes I get to see the cats that are over there at the racetrack.
The feral cats. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Oh, that's a whole other podcast.
Yeah. So how do you deal with the poop? We were talking to Mark about the poop.
Yeah. So I always have bags with me, and I think I've pretty much mastered, you know, the technique for you know, I get the bag and I kind of, it's gross, but I mean, I kind of hold it in my palm so it's not bouncing around. Because I have learned the hard way. I've just carried it, you know, by the top before, and I use the biodegradable bags, and you know, if they hit something, they split open pretty easily. So yeah, it's not pleasant. So
and it's a shit show then.
There you have it. And also Whippets poop a lot. So, I mean, when I'm out there, she's going to poop 2-3 times on a run, you know? So yeah, it just, I kind of get it in my palm, and I know where the trash cans are on our route, and yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, good God. For you for carrying your poop. Don't you hate seeing those poop bags out there?
Yeah, it's really.
We already talked to Mark about that, but
yeah, it's not pleasant.
No, worth reiterating, right?
Oh my gosh. So, and do you and Tori do races together?
No, I've never done that with her. No. And again, reactive dog, I can't imagine it. She'd be a mess. So
it would be a whole different kind of race, wouldn't it?
Yeah. We'd be kicked out, and we'd be running from the other people in the race.
Or, you could really get people moving. Say, yes. You're coming.
Exactly.
All right. Well, let's pause. Oh, I cracked myself so much with these dog twins. For a voice memo from Tammy, who actually does run races with her dog, who's named Rowdy.
Hello, I'm Tammy. I'm a mother runner from Northwest Ohio, and my dog's name is Rowdy. He is a boxer lab mutt that we rescued about 6 years ago, and he's not your typical running dog. He weighs almost 90 pounds, but he loves to get out and run with me. About 2 years ago, I started training him to come out with me on my weekday runs. So we were doing anywhere between 3 to 6 miles. He didn't like speed work, but he could keep at my easy pace or slightly faster than easy pace. And one of our favorite things that we've done is a local race called the Furry 5K. It benefits our Humane Society, and we've done it 2 years now. It's really small. There's only 50 runners, maybe, total. And we have come in first place for the female with a dog division both times, which was really awesome. And probably the only time I will be the first place female ever in a 5K. And he couldn't quite keep up with my normal 5K pace, but we still went pretty fast. And unfortunately got edged out both times for first dog overall because these tiny little dogs that were much smaller than him edged us out. Apparently they can move a little quicker than a 90-pound mutt. So anyway, I still love doing it with him, and it's fantastic to get him out. He sees other dogs running. He sees other people. He doesn't think that I'm the only one who runs, so that's awesome. And this year it was also really special because I was also 16 or 17 weeks pregnant when we ran the Furry 5K, so I technically had both of my boys with me running, and it wasn't so bad. It was pretty cool, and it's a memory I'll always remember. So I hope other mother runners out there will take their dogs out for a run because it's so fun, and you get a furry BRF who is always willing to go with you. Many happy miles.
So Amanda, do you have any running with your dog tips that you've learned perhaps a hard way?
Oh boy.
You already went over the poop bag. That was a good one.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think, keeping them, you know, close, tucked in near you is good. And, you know, if you do have a dog who's well-trained and can run on one side versus the other of you, that's great. I've, again, never mastered that with Tori. She, you know, her leash is all knotted because what she does is, you know, I've got her, we start out, maybe she's on my right side. And within a few seconds, she's switching over to my left side, you know, behind me. And I'm constantly moving the leash back and forth behind my back. And, you know, I'm sure there are ways I could train her and get her, you know, better at that. So that might be one thing, you know, it's just, if you can master that, that's great because, it is a little bit of a pain, with that. Cause it, she could be a hazard. You know, there've been a couple times she's almost tripped me with that little stunt. So,
mm-hmm. Oh, I bet. Yeah. Oh my goodness. So now as a woman runner, do you feel safer when you're running with Tori? Because sometimes we'll see on our Facebook page that women will say, oh, my husband won't let me run unless I take the dog.
Yeah, you know, I do think even
especially
though she's
with Tori,
even though,
she's safe,
right? Yeah, I mean that's the thing. Like, it's even though she's small, and you kind of laugh and think, you know, who's gonna be afraid of a whippet? But she is, you know, fiercely attached to me, and she is reactive. And I do think, you know, I will go to a trail and run by myself with her and feel safe. Whereas I don't know if I necessarily go to a trail by myself without her. So I hopefully it's not a false sense of security, but it's it. Yeah, she does give me a comfort level.
Well, I think a dog is a big deterrent for people. I mean, my girls have run with our dog, Jones, who's just a sweetheart of a lab. But I feel much safer with them out there. And people aren't going to mess with you with a dog.
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
And even a nice dog will sense when you're in danger and react.
Right, right. Yeah.
Well, that's interesting because this morning, so as Molly said earlier in the podcast, we, for the first time, the two of us ran together with Jones, and I felt like we were kind of getting more respect at crosswalks when, like, there's this one street that has a fair amount of traffic, particularly at as the morning rush heats up, and I felt like they were more, you know, we've stood there as two runners waiting, even in a crosswalk, and cars will just zip by, and then we had this, you know, big, you know, yellow/white lab. And I felt like that car like just stopped. I was like, oh, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
And being in Portland, I commented on it to Molly and I said, and she was like, oh yeah, well, it could just be, you know, how that's how people treat dogs in Portland.
That, dogs,
you know,
are royalty, right? In Portland.
They are. They are. They rule supreme. And it's like, yeah, I'll mow down two mother runners, but right. not a dog.
The dog butts break.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Any like police dog incident or dog and car incident, I mean, it is running the news for a good 10 days, isn't it? Right? We are very dog centric.
Oh, so dog. Yeah. 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 It's, you almost need like a little code, like when I kind of will meet people and I have to be like, yeah, well, we have a cat, not a dog. Like, I have to make right. sure it's like a safe audience, and I can admit that too.
Now, do you have any advice about running with cats? Wouldn't that be funny?
That would be an interesting one.
Oh my goodness.
You put the cat in a pack, and no, you do it that way. Yeah. That would be a reactive animal, wouldn't it? Yeah. Oh.
I do have to say, in defense of my cat, when I finish a run, Miller runs up to greet me.
Like,
and, you know, so I have a sidewalk, and I don't think it's that he sees me coming. I don't know what it is, you know, and he just runs up to greet me and is so enthusiastic, and he'll drop to his to his back and want me to rub his belly. So,
aww.
And Molly's his vet, so he always loves seeing her too. So
that's cute.
That's what she says. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Well, thank you for joining us, Amanda. This was fun.
Oh, I was happy to. It was a lot of fun for me too. And, I look forward to hearing it all.
Yeah, happy running.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Our final voice memo is from Jonna, who runs with two dogs.
Hi, this is Jonna Bass Parr in Amarillo, Texas. I run with my two dogs, Zeke and Gus. They are both French Brittany Spaniels, not to be confused with an American Brittany, although they look very similar. Zeke is a tricolor, and Gus is orange and white. We like to run together when it's dark. Typically, I reserve the dark early morning hours to be with my BRF, Reagan, and spend my late night hours with Zeke and Gus. And what really lights them up, figuratively and literally, are the lights that adorn them. I either strap lights around their necks or on their collars. I have tried affixing lights to their legs, and I don't recommend doing that. It was not successful. We also like to go about 3 to 6 miles, more than 6 miles. Gus has hip dysplasia and kind of peters out, and well, let's just face it, they are not bammers, and I am. So in the long distance, I win, but in the short, fast distances, of course, they get to be crowned king. So I love running with my dogs and with my BRF, and I really love AMR. So thanks so much, and I'll talk to y'all later.
And now let's hear from Dimity again, this time about the Train Like a Mother Club, which is kicking off the Saucony Stride into the school year on September 12th. Check it out, along with all the other clubs, at trainlikeamother.club. The 5-week Saucony Stride Club costs a mere $25, a total bargain. Okay, here's Dim.
Hello, hello, it's Dimity in Denver. It's the beginning of September, and it's still hot and steamy in many parts of the country. So this Train Like a Mother Club corner has that hot and steamy-ish, TMI-ish kind of theme. It's from Catherine Ann Marie, who lives in St. Louis, and she is in the heart rate half marathon challenge. She writes, "This one location in my gym has a cardio theater, which is a big, dark, heavily air-conditioned room with a movie showing. I often listen to my headphones in there because the movies suck, but I love the cool air while I'm on the treadmill. So this morning, I go in there, I put my stuff on the treadmill, and then I go to the side of the room to do my silly toes, which is this warm-up routine we recommend in heart rate training and really any challenge, like a little warm-up. I'm about to take a step forward when I see a young couple straight ahead of me laying on the floor. She is facing down and he is practically lying on top of her. It surprised me and freaked me out. I skipped silly toes, did a couple non-effective stretches, and got back on the treadmill. The guy kept looking up at me and it was freaking me out. He appeared to be stretching her, but really, people, there are great massage tables in the gym for that. I tried to ignore them, trying not to think about where their hands were. Then about 5 minutes in, he got on top of her and straddled her. I was done. Remember the rock star skit on the old Conan Late Night? Inappropriate. I grabbed my stuff and left. I went to the front desk and I was like, I am not sure where you draw the lines of appropriate behavior around here, but there is a couple on the floor in the theater, dot, dot, dot. Then she writes, I am at a different location now. Take two. So, anyway, nice little, laugh for hopefully the end of your run or the end of your drive home, and we will see you next week.
If you enjoy this podcast, please consider becoming an Acast Plus subscriber. For just $2.99 a month, you get access to exclusive content, which is currently the audio version of our first book, Run Like a Mother, doled out bi-weekly in chapters, as well as the first 100 episodes of our pod, which is now behind a paywall. While we want loyal and new mother runners to be able to find and enjoy our podcast, it's not free to make the show, and we can only cover so much of the cost with advertising and partnerships. We hope you'll understand and join us via Acast Plus. Never fear, aside from those first 100 episodes, you'll still be able to enjoy our weekly podcast for free. That isn't changing. Exclusive content and our back catalog of podcasts will only be available on the free Acast app, so you've got to download the app and listen on it to support us. We think Acast Plus will strengthen the Mother Runner community, and we're pleased to be a part of this new program. If you're intrigued, download the free Acast app, that's A-C-A-S-T, and search for Another Mother Runner. Or go to acast.com/anothermotherrunner, and we sincerely thank you for your support. Whether you're running with a dog or not, many happy miles. Alex, what is this? You have a story about a GoPro on a dog.
We're talking about dogs.
We're talking about Sasquatch.
We're talking about
Molly, as we do.
Molly's yeah. A Sasquatch enthusiast.
Fanatic, I think, is the word you're looking for. Yeah.
Anyway, a video surfaced recently. A dog. Someone put a GoPro on his dog, and the dog just was like running around the property, ran off into the forest, ran down a trail, and then just one shot as the dog's running around the corner, a Sasquatch-like figure darts off the trail into the woods. So,
and
a video in which, like, there's not a person holding the camera. There's not a person around.
Yeah.
And you saw the video?
I did.
And was he a red Sasquatch or a brown Sasquatch?
Dark brown.
Dark brown?
Almost black.
Okay, because generally they're thought...
Kind of looked like a suit you might get at, Halloween warehouse.
Right, because generally they're thought to be more reddish brown. But, okay, that's interesting. And where was it taken?
This was Oregon or Washington. I don't remember exactly where.
Investigations will happen.
So. I love that you said they're usually reddish brown.
That's what I hear.
So sometimes you should run with your dogs. Other times, just let your dogs go run.
that's the takeaway from this story.
Find interesting things.
Now, we just heard from the expert that he had a hard time with the GoPro on the dog. So maybe the whole thing's false because dogs don't like GoPros and this whole thing has been a setup.
That could be the case.
It might be the first time there's been a Sasquatch setup. Maybe. I don't know.
If it is fake, the coordination of the dog running by itself and having someone waiting.
That's true. That's pretty that impressive. That is true.
Now,
but who knows how many takes it took. Or is it just totally legitimate?
Or is it D.B. Cooper?
The conspiracy theories that swirl around the studio after the recording's over.
He had a Sasquatch suit in his cargo bag. And he is, in fact, the same thing. It's all one.
It's all the conspiracy theory. And Sasquatch D.B. Cooper shot JFK.
Sarah, just don't be ridiculous. I'm being serious here.
The timeline is all out of whack.
Yeah, just stop.
All right, we are just a whole bunch of goofballs. Okay, so now we have to